You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. And today, Jason is out this week, but we've got a great guest for you, my good buddy, Dr. Caleb Leonard. I can't remember, I should have looked this up, what episode you were on last, but our viewers our listeners who have been around a while would remember him from church up in Iowa. He's now working down in Texas, church down there, and a ministry called Grit for primarily coaches and helping to equip those who work in active discipleship to make greater and greater disciples for Jesus. So, Caleb, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, man, happy to be back. It's been a little bit, but I always enjoy being able to come on and have fun and important conversations, and hopefully they're helpful for those that listen. So happy to do it.
Yeah, for sure. So the topic that we wanted to address today, in a world and in a culture where there's so much confusion about gender and identity, it's always good to come back to what does the Word of God teach in relationship to these things. And specifically in this episode, we want to talk about men and what it means to be a man, and specifically what commands in Scripture that speak to this sort of thing. Like 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, the command here is be alert, stand firm in faith, act like a man, and be strong. Your every action must be done in love. And even along this line, you know, I think of the words of King David on his deathbed that he gave to his son in 1 Kings chapter 2. It says, as the time approached for David to die, he instructed his son Solomon, as for me, I am going the way of all the earth. Be strong and be courageous like a man, and keep your obligations to the Lord your God, and walk in his way, and keep his statutes, commands, and ordinances, and decrees. This is written, that is written in the law of Moses, so that you will have success in everything that you do, and every way you turn, the Lord will carry out his promise that he made to me. So, you know, we look at these texts, and of course, they're very encouraging, but it does, at least for me, always invite the question, what does that mean? What does it mean to stand firm as a man, or to act like a man? Of course, we live in a world and a culture where on one side they say, masculinity is bad and a man should just be really subservient and groveling towards both women and everyone. And it's just kind of an ugly, gross thing that even your soul itself sort of recoils from, like, what? I don't want to be a part of that. And then on the other side, you have these people that, you know, we call them red pillars, that come along and they're like, a man is strong, and a man is, you know, doesn't care about women, and a man is just uses people for his own advantage. And it's like, again, your soul itself just kind of recoils to that. You know, we know just inherently, I think, as men, that neither of these pictures are the picture that God has for men. And when I read these verses, it's like there's clearly something else that God has in mind there. So, Caleb, how do you begin, you know, sort of a discussion like this, or think through a topic like this? What does that practically mean? To stand as a man, or to act like a man, or be courageous like a man in a biblical sense?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, one thing that's really interesting about, you know, hear the word biblical manhood and us wanting to recapture this reality, right? So that we're not governed by what society and culture think that a man, you know, should be, whether that vision is, you know, kind of a soft, like nerf ball, you know, type of masculinity, or whether that is is just a savage, right, on the other end. And, you know, I always like to start and say, if I asked a man I'm sitting across from him, or a group of men, and I asked them a question like, what does it mean to be a man? Would they be able to define that? You know, what, has anybody ever asked them that? You know, or how do you know a man when you see one? How do you know when somebody actually becomes a man? You move from a boy to a man. How do you define that? When is that? Like when you hit puberty? You know, is it when you can grow a beard? Is it when you get married? Is it when you have kids? Is it when you can provide for a family? What does that look? Is it based on certain virtues? What does that even mean? And I just wonder, first of all, what would the average man say? Like, even if you were to, you know, ask someone, you're getting your oil changed or whatever, and you just ask the guy, like, hey, what's it mean to be a man? When's a boy become a man? Like, could they even define that? You know, do they have a succinct definition? Has anybody ever asked him? I'm curious about that in discipleship, especially of men. And so I think we have to first start with what is, you know, biblical manhood. Like, could we even describe what a man is before, like, what it means to stand strong as a man? And I've heard this several different places, but it stuck with me. And I think the first place I saw it was probably in the Biblical Manhood and Womanhood book from John Piper and Grudem and those guys. But they'll say it's a, like, to be a man, it's a sense of benevolent responsibility to lead, provide for, and protect. And they'll add, you know, in there, women in the church in ways that reflect Christ's sacrificial love. And so I think it focuses on, you know, serving others rather than demanding service, embodying a humble Christ-like strength. I think we want to start there when we're thinking about, you know, biblical manhood. And so I think another verse, you mentioned some awesome ones, we can talk about those more. But just to add another one, I think sometimes looking at the qualifications for elders and deacons is helpful, because even though not every man will be an elder or deacon, those are all characteristics that every Christian should be aiming for, you know, to have a character that's above reproach and all of those type of things, growing in the fruit of the Spirit. I think we want to throw things in like that, but I just want to start there. Now we can talk about, you know, what's that look like to actually be like a strong man, to stand as a man. But that's where I kind of like to start, is just thinking about what does it mean to be a man, you know, to begin with. Because I don't know about you, Jamie, maybe you could speak to this a little bit before we get into more of that standing piece. But just in discipling men, a lot of men don't really have like a succinct statement or understanding, or even a target, like, to aim for. Like, how do I know I'm becoming a man? Or am I just out here mindlessly, you know, doing things? Or do I just not have a target? Because then if I don't hit it, then it's okay. I don't have to have that shame and guilt of not being like the biblical man that I'm supposed to be, right?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I think it's very true. And especially in a culture where there is not a lot of masculine influence in the sense that, you know, so many, and I mean, myself in this category as well, grew up in a home without a dad, and then also grew up in schools that were predominantly like female teachers, right? And in society, sociological contexts where it was predominantly or majority female, because the men are off usually working, right? And not necessarily in the context where kids are around, you know, sort of thing. And so, not to say that there's some grand conspiracy there, to a large degree, I think a lot of that is just kind of, you know, who's drawn kind of more by design of God. You know, women tend to be much more graceful, much more loving, much more nurturing. And so they're more drawn to roles like being teachers, right? Being daycare workers, you know, all that sort of stuff. Whereas men tend to typically be a little less that way. So, you know, you get this person or you get this young man who maybe has grown up in all these contexts and where there's just not been a lot of masculine influence. And yeah, it's a, you know, it's kind of a profound lack of vision. You kind of think of the old Nehemiah comment, right? Without a vision, the people perish.
That's right.
And that's largely true. And I think you see that kind of played out a lot where, like, I can share my own story personally. Like, I grew up with all women, and have a wonderful family, you know, and very godly women and wonderful. But I always had this aggression that I never really understood, you know, because all the women around me did not have it. And, you know, aggression for them was always viewed as a bad thing. And so you always sort of wrestled with this part of you that you're like, I think there's something wrong. You know, I think there's something bad there. And certainly there was a lot of opportunity for bad with that.
Sure.
That can stem into violence or causing trouble or tearing down or destroying or, you know, any of these kinds of things. And I think you see a lot of that, right? A lot of gang activity is that. A lot of, you know, it's like brotherhood and belonging void of any good purpose, right? So I think that's, a very well taken point and very profound that, there's a lot of people kind of have been left to their own devices to sort of figure this out. What does this mean? And again, you know, like we started out with, you read verses like that and you're like, wow, that's cool. But what does that actually mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you go, that's really good. And I think a lot of times I do, especially in our culture today, want to go to like a 1 Corinthians 16, where I think Paul gives us a really succinct statement of, you know, of biblical manhood, right? Of, you know, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, you know, be strong. And, you know, I think there's a kind of the paradox of the, I think some have explained it this way, of like the safe man, right? That, but really, like, biblically, like, you want to be, a man's only like truly safe for those who are vulnerable, think of like women, children, if he's also like dangerous in other ways, towards wickedness and unrighteousness and, the lies that are out there in the world, right? And so there's this imagery of, you know, men being like a shepherd with a rod and a staff, right? And just like the shepherd can comfort, like he also can protect, and if necessary, you know, use force. And so there's a certain sense, and like it's not just a physical strength, but it's not less than that. The God made us with kind of this warrior, you know, hero mentality in a lot of ways. It does come out in aggression if it's not harnessed in the correct ways. And so we have kind of this capacity for aggression and strength, but if it's disciplined and directed toward the good, that's a good thing. It's not inherently bad. It just has to be put in the right direction. And, you know, so part of that is when I say like, okay, strength, what does that mean? I think it does mean, you know, physical strength in some ways. It doesn't mean you have to be, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, but it doesn't mean like, does my body allow me to help the vulnerable when somebody needs help? Am I physically able to, you know, go do that and do the best I can? Am I, you know, staying healthy for my family, for my church, those in need, for my own spiritual growth and things, where my mind can be clear and I can be thoughtful and healthy in those ways? Like, certainly that's true. But I think also this strength speaks to like a spiritual strength, right? That would also love the Lord and to fear him and desire righteousness, to desire to see the fruit of the Spirit, to grow in my own life. That is what makes a man strong too, right? Humility. Meekness. We want to say, you know, just like Jesus, I want to be, have the courage of a lion, right? But I also want to have the humility of the lamb. And I think Jesus was both of those things. And so I want to, you know, I want to try and be that way, you know, myself. And so I want to avoid the sin of being timid. I want to avoid, you know, the sin of, you know, I want to speak clearly about things. I think masculinity is tied to courage to speak uncomfortable truths, not to have like kind of a superficial, you know, gentleness, but be able to say the truth in love. I think I want to warn people of spiritual danger. To not do that is actually to not be loving. It's actually more hateful to not do those things. And maybe if I just say one other thing, I think that it also means brotherhood, that growth comes in brotherhood for men. And so I think a lot of times we've lost this like iron sharpening iron piece for a lot of men. Because we've kind of done in some ways, not everywhere, but in some things, like we've kind of made men's ministry look too much like women's, you know, ministry. And so like we've kind of lost men in a lot of ways there, where it's like men know that they need iron sharpening iron, but they need it in context that like actually appeal to men the way that God's, you know, designed us. And so I think there, you know, there's maybe a conversation for another time, but I think there's a certain type of accountability that's helpful and others that aren't, you know. I don't want to just focus on here's all my like problems, focus on the brokenness without a call to progress, to grow, you know, to see victory in and through Christ and the power that his spirit brings. And so I think it needs to be also focused on progressive sanctification, right? I think like 2 Peter, you know, emphasizes that the Christian life, it should be one of increase of effort, of campaigning toward like excellence, right? And so we want to say like grace is opposed to earning or opposed to merit, but it is not opposed to effort. And I think that that's something that, you know, men can kind of rally behind there. And maybe just, I know I said one thing, but maybe a final one thing here is that when I think about this, like, but I always want to land on, you know, like Christ's perfect righteousness for us. He perfectly loved God for us. And so I want to live out of that reality. I want to live out of the reality that I have favor with God because of what Christ has done. So that union with him, I always have that. But as far as, you know, communion, intimacy with the Lord, it's very much affected by, you know, how much am I seeking to like grow in holiness, put sin to death, living in this, you know, brotherhood, living into these realities of what it means to, you know, to be a man, and just dependence on God. Like that's true masculine strength, is rooted in his words to us, right? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so I think the manly man is, you know, maybe a man's strongest when he acknowledges that he is only a man, right? And so he relies entirely on the power of God, I think, to stand in that, because none of us can live up to that, you know, on our own, apart from Christ, apart from the Spirit. But man, I love that verse. I think it resonates with a lot of men, but we got to, you know, unpack what some of those things mean.
Yeah, totally. And the other thing that came to my mind, you know, when you're talking about that, is reliance on the Word of God forces me out of my own wisdom.
Yeah.
So to be a man is fundamentally to allow God to determine, or God to inform, what that actually means and what that looks like, which is radically different than from a human perspective. You know, we've talked about this before in so many different contexts. It's like when you think of like masculinity versus femininity, or like chauvinism versus feminism. It's like neither of these are biblical ideas, right? I think it's fair to say 100% that God is not a chauvinist, but God is also not a feminist, right? Mm-hmm. Neither of these concepts are biblical concepts. And so at like an entry level, And I think that's what you see in the advice of David there. You know, there's this encouragement to be courageous, to stand as a man, but it's paired with and the and is keep the commands of the Lord, right? To yeah, hold to right. his statutes and precepts and good law and good purpose. And what that, you know, indicates is, okay, so here's, you know, here's how that plays out in a physiological sense. Here's how that plays out in a spiritual sense. Here's how that plays out in an emotional sense. Here's how it plays out in a belief sense, right? All of these aspects, just like, okay, aggression is not bad. The Bible makes that clear, right? That men are to be strong, that they are to fight, that they are to go out, and actually for them to fail to do that is a literal abvocation of God's good purpose. I mean, look at in Judges, right? The Lord tries to call up a man to lead the people to fight against their oppressors, and no man will stand up. So he ends up calling a woman, right? And he's like, literally, because the men won't do it. Mm-hmm. Or you look at Adam, you know, who's called to stand for the truth of God, and he does not, right? He chooses to not step in, to not intervene, you know. So you see examples of that where it's like, okay, clearly there is that call. But then on the other side, you know, you look at like Ephesians 5, a husband's called to love his wife as Christ loved the church, which is that sacrificial love, right? That he's to die to himself for her, so that God can do his good purposes in her life. You know, it's not the husband that washes his wife. It is Christ who does that, right? Yeah. And the husband is to love sacrificially so that Christ can do that in her. And same thing, you know, 1 Peter 3, to live with his wife in an understanding way, and show her honor. Otherwise, literally the Lord won't listen. That's pretty intense. You know, so you have that duality, right? Well, which one's masculine? Both are, like you were saying, God's good purpose, God's good design, there's space for both things. And there's application for both things in a good way. And I did want to comment too on the community thing. I think that was a really important comment you made there. That, you know, in the council of godly men are made, right? And that the Bible is very clear that, and I believe this goes back to Imago Dei reality, being made in the image of God. That God is in perfect unity, perfect community, perfect fellowship, perfect love, right? And because we're made in that image, as we're told in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, we're made to be in perfect community as well, right? Perfect relationship, perfect love with God and with others. And the Christian life is lived out in community profoundly. I mean, look at so many examples of that. 1 John 1, 7, Galatians 6, 1 and 2, right? So on and so forth. James 5, 16. You could just go on and on with it. And I remember reading a study that they talked about in the book, the attributes or disciplines of a godly man. That's the name of the book. If you remember, he talks about a study in there that they found, I think it was something like 6%, only 6% of men had any meaningful male friendships. Only 6%. Like, I don't remember if that was the exact number, but it was something really, really low like that. And it was like one of those things where you're like, I mean, we knew it was a problem, right? We know that male loneliness is kind of an epidemic type issue. but I didn't realize it was that low, right? Like, it's like, whoa. It's wild,
yeah. Yeah, it's, it really is something that I think you experience a lot more rest, a lot more peace. I think confidence in making decisions, and it helps us, fight sin, to see blind spots and all of those type of things, to realize that we need community to do these things. And, it doesn't make you more masculine to be, the guy that doesn't need anybody, that doesn't ever reach out, that doesn't show any emotion, that, like this kind of lone ranger or stoic is what it looks like to be a man. I mean, that's clearly not the biblical vision for men, and I think one thing that kind of came to mind additionally, and I think we've been hinting at it, maybe subtly, but I just want to say it more explicitly, is, within the definition that I mentioned at the beginning, is initiative. I think an intentionality is often missing in the discussion, or it's what a lot of men struggle with, to say you're called to take the general initiative in responsibilities, and you're to exercise that authority. You're to take leadership that God has ordained for you to take. And so part of that sacrificial Christ-like love and strength is to say, how do I shoulder this burden so somebody else doesn't have to? Like in the context of a family, what does it look like to make sure that your wife and kids, flourish? And in the church, what does it look like as a pastor, or a small group leader, or someone to say, how do I help, like, this church, my congregation, or these people in my small group or Bible study? How am I aiming everything at, like, their growth and their flourishing? To help them to grow in wisdom and love, and to be obedient to the scriptures, and how do I do that? And even in the workplace, in a secular environment, I'm still taking these principles of how do I take responsibility, take initiative, exercise leadership, make sure that I'm doing things the right way, being just, being fair, being impartial, providing and protecting whatever God's given me responsibility over. And I think that's just something that I see missing a lot of times, is just like a healthy ambition, a healthy initiative, intentionality, to just say, like, it doesn't matter, man, if I'm like tired, if I want to or not. It's like, this is what God's called me to. And I want to be the kind of man that people can count on. And the type of man that, people say, like, I feel more loved and cared for under his leadership. I feel protected and safe, under this type of care and leadership, and to say, hey, this is what a strong man, looks like. And to be the type of person that if a younger man, came up to you and is like, I don't know how to be a man, like, would you teach me? Could you legitimately say to him, follow me around for a little bit, and I'll show you what that's like, and I'll invite you into this, and I'll help you see what true biblical brotherhood looks like. I'll show you what true masculine strength looks like. I'll show you what godly, healthy leadership looks like. I'll show you what it looks like to have a bridled strength. I'll show you what it looks like to actually have aggression and harness it toward the right things. And I think that is an exciting calling that we should step into as men, and you don't have to be 40 or 50 or 60 to do that. You could be a couple years ahead. You could be a high school kid mentoring a middle school kid, right? I mean, you could be someone in your 20s serving in the youth group, right? Or don't think you're too old. You could be the retired guy that comes into, this men's group with newly marrieds or singles or whatever, and just step into that and say, I'm not perfect, but man, I want to help you grow, in this. I can show you what it means to be a man, and let's hold each other accountable, and you know, give me some of that youthful fire, you know, again, in my bones, and I'll teach you how to actually harness it for good.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think even just maybe a smaller version of that, even if it's not a direct like discipling relationship mm-hmm. or something, but just taking opportunity to encourage when you see like godly masculine behavior, right? Like,
that's right.
So yeah. I see a guy engaging his son or his daughter in such a way that God calls a father to do, right? To instead of just thinking that thought, like, oh, that's cool, like, good for him, you know, he's but actually following through to say, hey man, I saw you, you know, doing this thing the other day, and I thought that was really cool and encouraging, like, way to go, way to be a godly, you know, father, husband. Totally. 'Cause recognizing like men also, while they don't have a lot of significant relationships, typically, they also don't hear a lot of compliments. Typically.
Encouragement's huge.
Yeah, huge. You know, and it's like, man, you get that encouragement. It's like, let's go. let's do yeah. this. And so even just taking those opportunities, I personally created my own challenge coin. Because I'm like, it's a cool practice that is largely done in like the military and done in, like, I know police, you know, like first responder cultures, like do this kind of thing as well. But I'm like, we should do that more broadly with men, you know? So I have a conversation with a guy, usually it's more like young men, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just see them really, trying to pursue the Lord in a certain way. And it's just a simple way of like, you know, give them a little challenge coin, you know, mine, it has the 1 Timothy 4:12, 12 through 16, you know, the be an example, as Paul says to Timothy, in, you know, faith and purity, love, conduct, teaching, you know, he covers all that in the text, and it's just such a great, and then in the center of the coin here, I can show you, I mean, our listeners can't really see it. But in the center, you know, you have that same encouragement. Show yourself a man, right? From this very text that we're talking about here.
Yeah, love it.
And it's just a simple way of like, you know, they're not worth anything. They're just, I don't even know what they're made out of. But I remember getting one from a mentor when I was a young guy. I was like 18. And I still have it. It sits on my desk. And I look at it every day, and it's just a good encouragement to, you know, so even those simple things, if you're like, well, I don't really know how to disciple anybody. I don't know how to engage. It's like, well, one simple way is like literally just look for those opportunities and then affirm those opportunities when you see them come up. And then I think even that, you know, slowly will help, you know, niche you into greater and greater relationship and community.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. I think that's such a good word, because, you know, the more that you, you know, just take those steps to act in these ways, then people recognize that because it's different, right? It looks different than how men are acting in the world. And so you're going to have those opportunities to take greater leadership, to exercise greater authority. And then, you know, hopefully you're ready for it because you've already been, you know, prepping in these ways. And so I think, man, that's awesome. I love the idea of the coins. I know one thing I've done is, you know, taken like, can I write my vision of manhood and what that looks like in one or two sentences? And can I revisit that every year, you know, as my kids get older, as we, you know, have different seasons of life. You know, life circumstances change. What does that kind of look like this year to live these things out? And then, you know, just kind of revisit that. Like, again, like that coin, like your statement, whatever, it gives you a target to aim for. And the thing is, like, just because you know, missed it this day, or you had like, man, I haven't really thought about that. I haven't been that intentional this last, you know, month or two. it's like the point is that, like, okay, but now you can get back up and look at that target again, you know, keep these goals in mind so that you're not just like the rest of the world who sits back and has no vision for what a man is, and that it's just a free for all. And like, you don't know if you're like you're not aiming at anything, so you wouldn't know if you hit it, you know? And so I think those are really practical things that can really help us stay focused on that. So
yeah, that's awesome. Well, man, we could obviously go on talking about this for a long time, but our episode time is basically up. So I was thinking, would you offer a prayer for any of the men maybe listening that would help encourage them towards this kind of biblical masculinity?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for, first of all, giving us life, and for the men listening to this, for making us men intentionally, that we would walk in your ways and learn to love your word and to love others and to live in the world that you created in a way that brings glory and honor to you. And so I just pray that you would help us to lean into this sense of responsibility that you've given us and authority you've given us to lead for and provide for and protect women, children, the church, and in ways that reflect Christ's sacrificial love for us. And so I pray that you'd help us to have the right kind of strength. You'd help us to use our strength for good and to serve and love others well, that you would help us to take the initiative, to take the authority that you've given us and use it to help others flourish and thrive in this broken and fallen world, that it would be a better place because of us, and that you'd help us also to seek to live in community, to be committed to that, to have a target and goal of what manhood looks like that is based on your word, and that this would be life-giving to those that are listening, that they wouldn't feel an unhealthy sense of condemnation or shame or guilt, but this would motivate them, that your spirit would move and work in them so that this is something they could get excited about. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.